Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic.
Questions on the ground that you would like to search for. Pull your best couple company to hear your soil that made you laugh too. So don't panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known as Andy Lopez, I think. I got you that time, didn't I? Sorry, I can't help it. let me turn this, push that button there and push the button over here. So today we're going to continue with our, shall we say, class. And you all know that, I guess I should mention the phone numbers that you people can call me at if you want to talk to me. I've had quite a lot of questions and emails sent to me in various different forums, and please don't call me at 7 a.m. in the morning. That doesn't really work very well for me. I did answer, though, didn't I? but try to just stick to the ideal way to talk to me, unless you want to talk to me right now on the air, right? And ideally, if you want to talk to me on the air, you should let me know in advance, right? You email me, say, Andy, I got this question. So I say, okay, cool. Call me at such a time, the engineer would know you're calling, or maybe he would call you, whatever, you know. Then you can, on the air, we talk. I'm always open to just people dropping in, you know. I don't mind that at all. So I'm going to give you the number. And the main one is the 700 number, 701, right? I'm just doing it real slow for everybody. 719-4207, right? Now, there is a... there is a 800 number that you can call, right? And that's 888-627-6008. And of course, you all know how to you know, if we're using, we use Skype here. I'm using Skype at the moment. I'm going to probably be using other things. But bbsradiopr.com. No, bbsradiopr. And that'll get you right into the Skype, you know, right into our show. Okay, so I'm going to push this button over here. I got a lot of buttons today, and see what does this button do? So right after the show, it's going to be my cosmic spaceship. I just wrote this one about 5 seconds before the show. As a matter of fact, it's not entirely done yet. But I love doing this more than I do playing games. Isn't that interesting? I'm okay. I'm all right. You're okay. So today I'm going to talk to you. I'll try to if you haven't been listening, I'm sorry. You're going to have to, you know, listen to the other shows in the past. I mean, this whole thing that I'm doing, it's really an ongoing class. And if you go up to the website there on my page, you'll see all the shows that are going on, and that way gives you some idea. If you have a topic you're looking for, you can always get at them through my website. I have them posted on the blog, Plus, the show is also up there as well. But so this month, I've been talking about pest control, right? Natural pest control. And there's so much. One of the things I've gotten lots of emails from, and I do appreciate the emails. I think they're great. it just shows that somebody's out there listening, and I've always known that. I've had my suspects that people are listening.
Hi.
So, and you know, people, one of the things I got from, like, a whole bunch of emails was well, all this is great, but it doesn't really stop me. What do I need to do now if I have a specific problem or bug or something? What do I do? And, you know, and I tell people, and I basically am not emailing everybody back, okay? I can't email, return the emails to everybody. I'll be emailing all the time. So what I do is I take the emails and I answer them on the show. So if you have a specific bug, pest or disease, not you, I mean, this is not, we could do it on my other show called The Body in the Garden, but this particular show, we're dealing with your garden, right? Bugs of your plants, your trees, your lawn, your roses. That's one of my favorite things to do is somebody call me up and talk to me about whatever specific bug is attacking them. You know, attacking their plants. Here we go again, attacking their plants. And I can help you with immediate solutions, as well as try to help you with the long-term solutions. Now, the long-term solution actually takes a long time for people to get it, for you to understand. It's not like you sit down here for one show and you say, I got it, unless you already come here knowing it, right? I have a feeling that a lot of people who are listening to this show already know that it's the soil that we're talking about here. That it's the soil. If you look at my videos, it's Heal the Soil. All about healing the soil. My business that I do locally is healing the soil. People always ask me, what are you doing? I don't know if I told you guys, but the other day, a few months ago, customer person hired me to come out and do stuff, you know, so that she's been reading my blog. And so I went out there. What is, you know, she said there's a problem with my coral trees. And she does. She has a problem with the coral trees. They're starting to get there's a couple of different diseases that it will attack them. But the real problem was is that on her property, her entire property, the citrus was dying, the roses were looking awful, the lawn was, like you can tell, was overwatered and fertilized a lot. Everything was very weak. And over time, she's been there for quite a few years with her husband, and has done absolutely nothing to amend or help the health of the soil. So over the years, if not overwatering, chemically fertilizing, the soil is totally, completely dead. Not in the sense of nothing living in it. Yeah, what's living in it is a massive ant colony, right? There's all kinds of diseases in the soil. Because the way it works is that the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. And that's really makes it real simple. I've learned over the years to simplify things for people. Mainly because I think that way. So anyway, what happened was is that I explained, you know, she says, you don't have to explain everything. I've been reading your column. Okay, so, you know, in my column, because it's a column for a paper, I'm not allowed to promote myself like I am here. When I first started to do the column, they say, well, Andy, you can't use AndyLopez@invisiblegardener.com as your email. I says, why not? Well, because you're promoting your website. I go, well, that's my email. On top of that, they didn't want me to use the name Invisible Gardener. They wanted me to say Andy Lopez is my 1 hour columnist, Andy Lopez. And I said, well, first of all, I do everything under the name Invisible Gardener. I say Andy Lopez, a.k.a. Invisible Gardener. Even my music, Andy Lopez, a.k.a. Invisible Gardener. Invisible Gardener is my artist name, and it's also my show name. The name once I become famous, you're not going to be hearing about Andy Lopez. You're going to be hearing about Invisible Gardener, right? Okay. So I said, no, this is my name. This is my email. And they allowed it, but... So I can't, when I talk about, I do a lot of the same thing I'm doing now, I talk about the causes of things, right? And so I never say I do these things, that's for business. But people get the idea he knows a lot, so they call me to go there, and I said, well, she was expecting me to spray something that would kill everything, right? Can you spray something and it'll be, you know, it would take care of the problem? She wanted me to go there once, spray something, and magically make it back to beautiful and healthy. If I could do that, I'd probably be in the wrong business. You know what I mean? I wonder what else I could do, right? Okay. So I gave out the numbers. And if you have a question, you want to be on the show, just call in. And the engineer will pipe you right through. I'm happy to talk to you. Regardless of what it is that I'm talking about, you can talk to me about what you want to talk about. But ideally, I would like you to email me first and say, Andy, I have this problem. Can I talk about it on your radio show? And I would say, cool. We'll pick a date, right? Like today, I know you would call. But it gives me an opportunity to look at their problem and go, okay, I will write down some things for you, even though I'm pretty good on my feet. But sometimes I've been doing this a long time, and I don't think I've been stymied by any particular question other than one that I can think of. And that was kind of like really weird because the person said, how would you kill this tree? I'm going, oh, God. I don't think I'm going to go for this one. How to kill the tree, right? It's like, I don't like that tree. I want to kill it. I go, well, I'm very good at how to heal the tree. Killing a tree is very easy, but I'm not going to tell you. just do what you normally do. Because I wrote one of my columns, I wrote 10 ways to kill a tree. It was just a clever way of how to say what not to do to kill your trees. Duh, right? So if you do this, you kill the tree. So I just reversed it, 10 ways to kill your trees. I got a lot of emails. Hey, Andy, how dare you tell people to kill it? How dare you show them how to kill your trees? I thought you were a tree lover. And I go, did you read the column? Because it basically says this is a what not to do. These are 10 things you're not supposed to do to kill your or you will kill your trees. You know, things like don't back up your car to it, right? Bounce hit it, right? Don't overwater, don't drown it, right? Don't dump chemicals on it, right? Don't give it a chemical fertilizer. I picked 10, but there's tons of them. Basically, toxins, things that you do to destroy the soil, things you do to damage the tree. You do not cut all the way around the ring of the tree. You'll choke it to death. You'll die. Lots of different things, but they're top 10 that I came up with. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about. Maybe I should just push this button. Let's see what it does again. This button here, I like this button. This song is called Energy Cookie. It's basically a physical workout, so you can exercise to it. At the same time, you have your, none of your body working, but other parts of your organs, your mind, your cells, are listening to the sublingual frequencies that I put into it. Ideally, you take it out in a garden. Oh man, this guy is really crazy today, man. I don't know what he's doing over there. I don't know. I'm having a problem with coffee these days. I like organic coffee. I guess I'm hooked on Jamaican Blue Mountain or Hawaiian Kona, but the Jamaican Blue Mountain, I can't find the organic Jamaican Blue Mountain unless it's $40 a pound. So I'm having a problem with that. Anyway, so this month I've been talking about natural pest control, right? And I've been talking a lot about what the long-term solution is, because the sooner you get started on the long-term solution, remember it's a long-term solution, that means it takes a long time for it to happen. The sooner you get started in that, the sooner you'll get to a more permanent place where the problem is no longer really a problem. And so there's short-term solutions and long-term solutions. So I've been only talking about long-term solutions because that's what I'm trying to do, is set a foundation for you all to build upon, to stop being in a reactive mode but a proactive mode. Did you get that? Reactive as opposed to proactive, right? it's better to be proactive than reactive. So a lot of things, 99% of the time when people call me up, they say, Andy, I have bacterial spot on my peppers, right? Or bacterial wilt on my cucumbers. Or that was two questions that people send me. And another person says, what do I do about soul bugs or pill bugs, right? This is reactive, not proactive, right? Right? Another person emailed me about buffalo tree hopper. That there is a real thing, a buffalo tree hopper. It's in the, it's in the United States and different places in Canada. It requires certain conditions. It likes roses and certain types of roses, you know. I'm not sure that the specific is of the names of the roses, but there are certain varieties that are very susceptible to it. But basically, I could go into with all of these specific questions that they had about the bacterial spot or the bacterial wilt or the soul box or the buffalo tree hopper. I can go into details with you and tell you, you know, the life cycle description of the range. These things you can find. And I don't want to go over them again. I don't want to reinvent the wheel, okay? I have so much time in this life, okay? I mean, I'm 70, man, and the time is going by. And so even the host plants, you would know, you don't care about the host plant. All you know is it's attacking your plant. You didn't tell me what plant it was, but it'd be a good idea. I'm assuming it was rose. You know, but it goes after pears, peaches, all different kinds of fruit, as well as, you know, a lot of vegetables. But here's the thing, and I could go over prevention and control because there are cultural ways. You would probably like my books. I have 21 books, and they all cover each one of these subjects in different area, in a different part of the books. The Natural Pest Control Alternative to Chemicals for the Home and Garden covers a wide range of different immediate things that you can do, right? Because like I said, they're long-term and short-term solutions. So like, for example, for the tree hopper here. Now, again, you should know that I would say, well, the tree hopper is doing what it's supposed to do because the host is now food for it. It doesn't mean that the tree hopper will go after every rose it runs into. It would only go after those roses that are stressed out, that are perfect food for them. Duh. That's its job. See what I'm saying, right? So that's a different approach. So you would say, well, they're going after my roses, and that means my roses are stressed out. Should I get rid of them and get new roses? No. There's things you have to do on a long-term basis to bring the roses back to health. You ain't going to bring the roses back to health by ignoring the soil. You concentrate on the roses all you want to, the soil, and don't do anything to the soil. You're not going to solve your problem. And that's really the American way, because that's what people do. They go out, buy something, spray the rose with it, it kills a bug, and it damages the soil more, and then they have to spray on a regular basis. And they use something different, something stronger. After a while, they say, well, that's part of life. Spraying the roses three or four times a week so I can spray with this and spray with that, that's what you got to do. It's like, really? You see what I'm saying here? Okay, look, it's the same thing with the soul box and pill box. What's wrong with soul box and pill box? Okay? So just think about it. That's when I was a kid, because I realized that soul box and pill box, what do they eat? They eat decaying matter. That's their main primary source of food. When decaying matter, when living matter becomes as good as decaying matter for them food-wise, that should tell you something. So when you have decaying matter, what does that mean? That means the thing is dead, right? That creature has died a long time ago or whatever, right? What it really means is that the minerals are not there in that matter, in that decaying matter. And it also transfers to, if the mineral's not in that living matter, the bug doesn't care if it's decayed or alive. It's perfect food for it. Duh. So soul bugs and pill bugs are naturally found. They're good guys. Their job is to, you know, clean everything up, convert it into a form of poop that then with the bacteria gets mixed in, whatever carbon. They're basically carbonators. They collect sources of carbon, apply it with their specific enzymes that they have in their bodies, and distribute it. Okay, there's nothing wrong with them. And whenever you have a member, whenever you have an infestation of any one pest, there's something wrong with the soil. Because in the soil, you have a natural organism that keeps these people, these folks at a certain level. They don't get out of hand, but you need a certain amount of them. Okay? So rather than killing them, and the same thing with the rose and the tree hopper, you have to deal with the long term. So it basically means you have to pay attention to the soil. So you're 99.9% of the time, it's something that's happening to the soil, whether you're doing it, right, or whether something else is doing it. Lately, it's been while we're doing it. Because in nature, take away the humans, right? Long time ago, when there was no humans around, you can't tell me there wasn't flowers and plants and trees and birds and stuff like that. Very possible there were. But let's assume, you know, a long time ago, there was less humans, right? There was a few of us running around, but we haven't yet conquered the world, so to speak, right? And there was trillions of animals running around, plants and flowers doing their thing. You see what I'm saying? You know, and by them doing their thing is that they were constantly replenishing the soil. There was a major cycling thing going on there. We have pretty much cut that off. Animals no longer come and die on our front lawns. You know, they don't spread their manures all over the place and go eat from one place and die over there and go back and forth. There aren't millions and trillions of birds poo-pooing all over the place, taking stuff from one place from the other. Imagine, okay? So right now you're not getting that. And that's why you make compost. And forgive me if I talk up real fast, because there's so much to cover that, you know, I could do this for, for quite a few hours, and trying to get the information across. That's basically, you better start paying attention to what's going on in the soil if you have this problem. It's like having anything in your body, right? And the body's the same thing, too. If you don't pay attention to your stomach, what's going on in your soil, you're going to have problems. And your stomach is your soil, okay? So, sorry, that's the way it goes. I have to push this button. No, I don't. Maybe I will. Should I push this button or should I not? Okay, well, this one's called Brain and Body Workout. I have to do a little music in between talking, if you don't mind. I'm gonna do this other button over here. See, it's a workout. The idea is you get your body going a certain place, get your breathing into a certain place, and then we also talk to your minds. Your mind is busy. And then there's certain frequencies that talk to different parts of your body. I'm not making a step up. You know, what's really weird, too, is I've only been doing this for about a few years now, writing music, I think. When I say a few years, you know, time goes by. I think it's been 5 years that I started writing music. I started writing music and doing artwork in the same month. It was an unusual month. I'll go over it sometime. Anyway, so the bacterial spot, person said they had bacterial spot on the peppers. Okay. And so, you know, I can go over, I don't need to describe the problem. You obviously know what the problem is. Either you took it in to a nursery and they told you what you have, or somebody else told you what you have. There's lots of ways for you to find. Maybe you looked it up, or maybe, you know, so you already know what the problem is. Okay. If you don't know what the problem is, you say, I don't know what's going on, then you tell me and I will help you to figure it out. Okay. But since you already know it's bacterial spot, we can go right to the problem, which is, gee, I wonder what would be the problem. Okay, well, there's a couple of different problems. Okay, first of all, of course, the soil. But it's also to the seeds, the variety that you're growing. And I didn't say anything up to about the tree hopper and the roses, but I should have said, yeah, if you were growing organic roses, you wouldn't have that problem. because the organic roses would have all the minerals it needs. And it's the same thing with this person's peppers. So my suspicion is that the bacterial blight also see the bacteria and diseases, just like pests, attack mineral deficient plants, mineral deficient plants, trees, human, birds, right? Any one of us living, any living being that's mineral deficient will be attacked, whether it be through a bacterial, fungal problem or a pest problem. And here's what's interesting too in terms of this bacterial spot. It's also there are many different types. Like I said, there was another person emailed me about bacterial wilt. And by the way, every person and the way these people did it was they went to the website and hit the inquiry button and said, I listened to your show. And, you know, the other way that two of them did it was through the newsletter. It says, click on here to enter the contest. Well, in that same place, you can just say, entering the contest, I have this problem. I want to hear about it on the show. Duh. And you get entered in the contest also too automatically for that month. So the bacterial spot of the pepper and bacterial wilt of the cucumbers both have the same type of problems, that they're growing in the soil. So if the soil is not doing this thing and not alive, they're going to have problems. But, if you have organically grown peppers and organically grown cucumbers, they're organically grown because you're organic growing in organic soil. They don't grow organically, so that basically means that you're already growing in good, healthy soil, right? But also what I'm trying to say, if you buy organic seeds, you go to the store or wherever, buy organic seeds, say organic peppers, because this is probably what happened here, because they didn't mention anything about doing the soil, but they didn't mention that there were organic seeds either, but I'm just trying to cover all the bases. So usually I had problems before, people talk to me, said, well, I went to the store, I bought these organic seeds, I came, I planted them, I still have problems, so therefore it's proof that it doesn't work. And I'm going, yeah, right? See what I'm saying? And it's because they didn't pay attention, didn't do anything to the soil. If you're growing organically, you know you're taking care of the soil. You pretty much have to. See, right? Otherwise, you're not growing organically. And it goes hand in hand. So if you're growing organically, you're taking care of the soil is really healthy, you're doing all the right stuff to the soil, anything you grow on there will do well. Not so well if you have if you get two seeds, right? You go to one place, you buy organic heirloom peppers, and you say, okay, I want to buy these conventional pepper seeds, right? You have two packets, right? Or whether cucumbers or peppers, it doesn't matter. And you grow them next to each other, and you treat them both the same in your organic soil garden that you've been doing. Which do you think would do well? You got 5 seconds. In the interim, I'm going to give you a little time to think about it. I wrote this one just before I wrote the other one this morning. It took me about 5 minutes. I have so much fun doing this. It's so totally ridiculous. I have close to, 600, 700 songs already for some strange reason. I do like five of these every, I'm actually doing about 5 songs a day. Only one floats up to the top that I really like. The other 4 are still here. I might, work on them some more. Anyway, the one that would not do well is the conventionally grown, because it doesn't have the ability to deal with what has to happen in the organic soil. In other words, it has to have ability to have the root hairs, it has to have the ability to absorb the minerals. A lot of times these things are conventionally grown. They're not giving the trace minerals, and they're very weak. They push by all the types of fertilizers, so they don't get the trace minerals, and then they're not capable of surviving in this type of environment. If If, however, you grow one and they and that and you get seeds from that and you plant that, I mean, that would be more likely to survive in an organic environment and so on. Many times I have taken many generations of tomato plants, for example, and that's also, by the way, genetically modified organism. You know that, right? If you grow five tomato plants and you have, you know, and you have a little contest, pick the best, the sweetest tomato, right? People, I used to do that, and they would say, "Oh, I love this one," right? I would take the seeds of that one, grow a whole bunch of it. Then the next year, say, "Okay, pick the sweetest one." Everybody go, grow all the seeds of that. That is genetically modified organism. And that's exactly what would happen with this seed. If you planted every year that you planted, it would do better and better. And if you picked the right ones that did really well, you would do better and better and better. So people don't understand that too often. So when they buy something, even if you go to a nursery, right, and you pick some tomatoes and vegetables, already little things growing, right? There's a big difference whether you get them from organic sources or chemical sources. And if you, even if you got something from organic sources, it'd be the same thing. Stick it in bad soil, it's not going to do very well. And that's also true. For example, also true, by the way, people go out and buy organic fertilizer. I get quite a bit of emails of people going out and buying organic fertilizer and dumping it under their citrus tree or their avocado tree or whatever type. And then they say, and then a couple of months later, nothing's happening. They go, "I don't believe what you're saying now, because you told me, you say so much about organic stuff, and I went and bought this organic fertilizer, put it under my roses. No, I put it under my citrus, and it still looks bad after 3 months. And my next door neighbor said, "Well, here, put this on it," which was some chemical-based urea thing. And within a week, it was green and flush, and I'm like, ugh. So what's wrong? And I tried to explain to her that organic fertilizers have to work in living soil because they rely on the microorganisms to make the nutrients available. If the soil is not alive, living, organic fertilizers won't do anything. That's why the chemical fertilizers pumped it up, because that's what they do. Pum, pum, pum. I like to know what's going on with the plant now, because you can't do that too off too long. It's just like taking let's see, bodybuilders, when they take that that drug that pumps them up, right? They can't do that for so long because their heart's going to burst. So I have a saying, the greater the pest, no, the greater the stress, the greater the pest. And it doesn't make any difference. Usually the stress, and not so much in the bodybuilders, even though I'm... Because that's a different type of stress, you know. If you make your body bigger and bigger, and you pump it up, and you do all this, and you stress out your heart from that. But it's also possible they're not eating a complete minerally rich diet, even though I think that they're very much into the food thing, right? They get a complete mineral diet, so they do. I would think they get all their minerals, but stress usually comes about in terms of the plant world. Trees and roses and peppers and cucumbers is the what happened. You know, stress usually comes about because the soil is stressed out. So if the soil is stressed out, anything growing in the soil will be stressed out. And if it's stressed out, what it means is that their minerals are missing. Minerals are starting to become missing. It means that the system is not functioning, providing you with the minerals you need. Because you will get stressed out. If you get stressed out, you're going to become mineral deficient. You're going to become open to attack to one pest or a disease. You become mentally stressed out because your body, your stomach, so forth, is no longer capable of absorbing those minerals in the form. You're not getting it. Even if you ate the minerals in the right form, your body couldn't absorb them anymore. And that's bad. You know? Okay, so let's see. So... So what was I talking about? Anyway, there are lots of different, it's an amazing, I mean, you know, there's just thousands and thousands of different types of insects and thousands of different types of diseases and thousands of different types of, beneficials and non-beneficials and plants. And so, and again, when I talk about, long-term and short-term solutions, there are tons and tons of things that you could do that are short-term solutions, that are real simple things that you can do without, hurting the soil. Because my biggest thing is that if you're going to go out after the insect, and you're using a chemical, you're damaging the soil, and also too, you're hurting yourself because you're getting it back too. You're gonna get that in your system one way or another. So as I was talking about earlier this morning, I was saying about it's better to be proactive than reactive. And you know what to say? I don't know what to say about prevention. They say something about prevention. You know, I've forgotten the logo, you know, about prevention. But it really is about prevention, especially in the gardening world in terms of growing things. It's better to keep your plants healthy, right? It's better to have an environment and a system that's working in your environment. Because, you know, if you leave it alone, Mother Nature takes care of itself. That system works just fine. So you just have to learn what is that system in your garden, in your home, in your place, right? You have to allow that system to function. That means you need to let things come and go. As long as they don't bother you, it's not a big deal. As long as you see a couple of ants. It's nothing wrong with ants. Nothing wrong with any of these creatures. You have to learn how to live with them. And you have to understand when they are telling you there's a problem, because they will tell you there's a problem, okay? Because if you get like a million snails, there is a problem. You don't need a million snails. If you have like 100, I tell people, if you have more than you can count, more bugs than you can count, you have a problem. Okay? And so if you can count, okay, so I'll keep an eye on them, we'll see what happens, you know. A lot of people, well, I'll give you an example. I have a customer who insists on changing her plants regularly. It means buying new plants. A gardener goes to the store and buys like a couple hundred, 200 or 300 plants. They come in little containers. He goes and plants them. And I showed him one day. I says, so you've been complaining about snails because I'm supposed to be taking care of that. And I kept telling them that, you know, there's lots of things we can do. We have to do the soil, so forth. But I kept telling him, you're bringing them from the nursery. And they said, no, I'm not. I said, wait. I took one of the plants, pulled it out of the container, and right in the bottom of it was 3 slugs and a couple of small snails. I said, there they are, right there. And if they're in there, you know the eggs and stuff are also in the soil. So, and people, you know, they think that they can bypass the problem by planting resistant varieties. Okay, and it makes sense in a certain level, but they can only be resistant for so long. And they will break down too, and then you won't have that resistant variety. And one of the reasons why it's a resistant variety is because it has is better adapted at taking out minerals. But it has to have the minerals in there somewhere, otherwise they ain't going to get it. But you get out what you put in, right? Okay, so then I can talk to you a little bit about cultural controls, right, which has a lot to do with reducing stress. Because if you plant things in the wrong place at the wrong time, that poor plant is going to be really stressed out. That's part of it, right? You know, if you don't plant the right plants in the right zone or in the right part of the world and stuff like that, you're going to have to learn how to, otherwise they will just get stressed out. That means they won't get enough sun, the soil is too cold, the soil is too warm, right? Too much water. It all goes back down. I'm not getting the minerals and the food I need. And one of the things people do is crop rotation, because that, you know, all they're really doing is confusing the bugs. So you rotate the bugs, the crops, and the bug will go, wait a minute, that's not corn. This is, you know, and go somewhere else. And that's all you're doing in that level. Also, to a certain extent, what you rotate with, supposedly, hopefully, the crop will be putting something back into the soil. Well, these are just basic things that an organic gardener would do on this. In his garden anyways, rotate the crops, not plant the same thing in too many places, in the same place. That way it doesn't promote diseases. If you have a tomato disease and you plant the wrong thing, you can spread it to the other plants. But if you're really paying attention to the soil, you won't have to worry about crop rotation. But it does make sense to do that in terms of providing different plants growing in the same soil. Each plant will bring up different minerals. Last week I talked about letting your, or maybe I didn't talk it here, but I may have talked about it in my column about if you have a raised bed, you should do soil rotation instead of crop rotation. And there are many advantages of growing in a raised bed. Soil rotation is one of them. basically, if you have, you always should have at least two raised beds. Three or four is even better. And once a year, you let one of the beds go fallow. That means you don't grow anything. Well, not necessarily true. It means you don't grow your vegetable stuff. What you do grow is a cover crop. So you can grow peanuts, oaks, alfalfa, you know, lots of clover. Like I said, peanuts. Peanuts is one of my favorite to grow because then you can, yeah, peanuts. and there's sunflowers, lots of beans you can grow. And then you rototilled it over, turned it over. I don't like rototilling, but you like to turn it over, you know. I'm not too crazy about that method myself so much. I realized, because it's very destructive to the bed. You kind of have to tell the worms and all the beings inside of there, guess what, I'm going to screw everything up now. So I've learned it's much better because throughout the years I've decided that it's a no-till. So don't turn the soil over. You're doing more damage. You turn the soil over. The only time you may want to do it is once. If you have a really hard compact soil, you want to break that up. Right. Break it up and then build up and then don't never dig on it again. You don't even have to do that if you do it right. And then there are physical controls so that you can practice in terms of applying, adding barriers. There are lots of different kinds of barriers you can use. There are lots of different traps you can use, sticky traps, you know. There are different trap plants that you can plant that the bugs will go after. And the reason why the bugs go after those plants is because they are also deficient in certain minerals. Weeds are basically grow in mineral-deficient soil because each weed has a job of pulling up certain minerals. But they are also too deficient in other minerals because that's their job. I'm going to be pulling up iron. I don't care about these other stuff. So the bugs will go after them too, which is fine, right? Okay. So we have about 3 days left. No, anyway, we have this is the last Saturday for April. Happy Earth Day, everyone. So anybody that enters the contest during this period now up until Monday or Tuesday, I think it is, when it's the first, you know, we'll win the special prize. And my special prize I'm giving away this month is you will get the black and white version of my Don't Panic, It's Organic book. You'll get the color version of my Don't Panic, It's Organic book. That's normally $100. I have it on sale for $55. The other one's $20. Plus, you also get the lifetime membership to my club, and you will also get the Invisible Gardener's Growers Kit. Now, the Growers Kit is a $200 value. Actually, it's more than that because sales for, you get 5 pounds of rock dust. That's $50. And then you get a quart of the super seaweed, the microbiological activator. That's normally $150. So yeah, it's around $200 because a little bit more for the shipping. It's $200. I sell it for $100. So you'll get that, which is, I think it's a really cool deal. If you enter the contest before the time is up, only way you can enter the contest is through the newsletter. And if you haven't gotten the recent newsletter, you just sign up. You want to do it before the month is up. Go to the website, hit the inquiry button. You just say, I heard you on Don't Panic, It's Organic, or you know whatever other show you heard me on, because it gets repodcasted and broadcast throughout the known universe. And I'll be happy to include you in the contest. Okay. The best way is to click through the newsletter. Click here button if you have that. Then there are biological controls. Humans have come up with a lot of ways to control, to be reactive. It's a good business, isn't it? And so there are lots of natural things you could use, from simple things like using hot water. Believe it or not, hot water works really, really great on the variety of soft-bodied insects. Absolutely amazing. It's just plain, simple hot water. So if you have whitefly, mealybugs, any soft-bodied insect, and it's and you only have it on a few plants, and you know, and your garden is not too far away from your kitchen, just fill up a little sprayer. Just get the water. You can get water. You can boil some water or turn on the water, hot water, and let it really run really, really hot. Boiling water is best because it lasts a little longer. Pour it into your little hand sprayer. Run out to the garden and mist the plants. It won't hurt the plant at all. As a matter of fact, the way you can tell is you mist the, your hand. You'll feel the warmth, but you won't get burnt because it'd be just hot enough to change the temperature of the bug, right, to kill the bug, but it won't damage the plant. And that's that. You can use that for mealybugs, any soft-bodied insects. There are a variety of other stuff that you can use that are really very simple that help you deal with immediate bug control. As long as you understand that they're there because they're being attracted to this plant for a reason. So don't blame the bug. But so you have to do something for now, right? Okay, but you do eventually, you do have to start dealing with the real problem. I use I've always been talking about people that people should learn how to use cold brewed coffee. To be more correct, it should be organic cold brewed coffee. You have to just put the word organic in front of everything I say, and that way you'll know that what I'm talking about. Okay. Otherwise, you say, "Well, I went on buy some cold brew coffee and I sprayed my plant, blah blah blah." But you have to realize that coffee is most sprayed next to cotton, and I'm not talking about spraying the good stuff. So and the cold brew is a concentrated source of it, so you're going to get the concentrate. Just like when you go to any restaurant and you get coffee, you're getting the concentrated. When you get the brew, the drink, you're getting the concentrated pests already, pesticides, whatever it's chemicals are in there, that they spray the coffee with, right? So cold brewed coffee, which is basically a concentrated coffee liquid. There's 3 cups in there, and it tells you can add, 1 cup to a gallon. I think is that 1 cup and make a quart, and you heat it up. There's your coffee. People have drank straight, but I can't believe that. But and you can spray your insects with that mixture, and you'll find it works. If you heat it up, it works even better, right? And that works in a lot of different ways, especially if you learn how to use different types of coffee. You can get the French vanilla, for example. It has the vanilla is toxic to most insects. So you can learn how to use that. And part of the reason why the coffee works, besides the caffeine, is the scent, right? So insects have several different ways of seeing things. And their eyes not just see the frequencies of light, but they also see the frequencies of odors. And a lot of times they correspond to different colors and so forth, right? So when they're looking for the rose or the cabbage or whatever, they're used to looking for a specific color pattern that plant puts out. So if you sprayed it with cold brewed coffee or anything else that has a variety of other different scents to it, you're going to confuse the heck out of them. And if they can't find it, they ain't going to go after it. I learned that a long time ago. That's why, for example, garlic works really, really well. Really, 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 really well, too. I'm still having dental surgery, so I tend to talk like a rabbit. Yeah. Well, anyway, where was I? Garlic, for example, works really, really well. Really, I have to stop saying really, right? Garlic works well, right? It's the sulfur that the garlic gives off that kills the bugs. Sulfur is very toxic to them, but they really get a hit from it. They smell it. We go, phew. And garlic works well to get rid of a variety of other insects, like mosquitoes. So one of my books is How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You. And, of course, I introduce them to garlic. Well, you know, there are other things, but garlic is such a simple tool to use. When it comes to mosquitoes, what I do is I take a clove, cut it in half, put each clove in your shoe, wear that. You'll smell like garlic for days. If you smell like garlic, the mosquito will not find you. Remember I talked last week about a study done about, you know, scientists are trying to figure out how to control the mosquitoes, and they're saying basically they have ways of finding you. And remember I said there's a big difference in the odors that you give off, and one of the things that they found out is that a meat eater gives off different odors than a vegetarian or a vegan and so forth. It's the carbon dioxide that you give off and the odors and the frequencies in it. So if you screw that up with them, they can't find you. They can't find that. They can't find you. Well, maybe your friends will go away, but, and you don't have to go to that extreme, okay, of doing that. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to go off into the woods, or if you're really allergic to getting bitten by a mosquito, you don't have to go to that extent. You can maybe say a smaller piece. You're going to have to learn, right? Because what you want to, you know, eating it works to a certain extent. You can eat more garlic. I could give animals more garlic, stuff like that. It gets it into their system, into their blood, because a mosquito will go, basically the blood sucker, right? So if you have garlic in your blood, no good. They won't like that. They'll tend to leave you alone. But if you don't want them to bite you at all, they have to, you know, smell the garlic also too. So a lot of times people, it depends on their digestive system. Again, it comes back to the soil that you have in your body, how well it processes it. A lot of people don't have that working, so you can take all the garlic you want to, and it ain't going to come out through your skin. But if your body's functioning properly, garlic in, garlic out. So it's called back flushing, because it's actually very, very good for you. It opens up your pores, right? So you can do a little bit of that if you want to, but you can also spray it. You can make a liquid spray. You can buy garlic berry. It's a product called mosquito berry, because it keeps mosquitoes away. It kills them on contact and keeps them away because they'll smell it. Phew, I ain't going anywhere near that place. And you can make your own. Just get, you know, go to the 99-cent store, get a ounce of crushed garlic, put it into a pantyhose, tie it up into a little ball, put it in a gallon of water. Let it sit there for a little while. Squeeze it, get all the juice out. Take that gallon, put in the sprayer. You got yourself a nice spray. You can mist yourself if you want to, if you're afraid of getting bitten. You mist the area around you. You can spray things. You can spray that mixture into any sitting water. It'll kill the mosquitoes. It'll form a layer of the garlic oil on the top of the surface. A mosquito larvae has to come up to breathe, and they can. If they do that, they'll inhale. They'll ingest the garlic. And in terms of misting system, I talked last week about making your own misting system and popping the fine mist of this garlic spray out on your property. Because the garlic will also control all types of flies. It will control all kinds of other insects that are geared to finding you, whether it be ticks, right, fleas, right? It also works on any of the animals, because all animals, from rabbits to deer, to lions and tigers and bears and elephants, everything has a scent, incredible sense of smell. See, right? And so that's how you mess with them. So anyways, that's basically, I think I'm going to, you know, coming up, I'm going to be doing my cosmic spaceship. I'll be playing some of this music that I just recently wrote. That's essentially what I do. I just play the music that I wrote that previous during the week. I try to pick out the five songs. So I hope you can stick around to listen to that. Next week, I'm going to be talking about diseases. So I'm going to be covering tree diseases, citrus diseases, rose diseases. So if you have disease, if your plant has a disease, or if you have your property or something, email me and I'll be happy to include it. Just mention your name and who and where you're from. That's all. And what city you're from. And you also will get entered in the contest. So ideally, go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. I send a newsletter a couple of times a month. I used to send it every week, but people said, just send it twice a month. So that's what I'm going to do, send it twice a month. And but if you have, you know, if you have a newsletter, that you can just bring it up in your email program. You can click on entering the contest, or you can go to invisiblegardener.com, look for inquiry, and say enter me, and there'll be an enter in a contest button there. That's a good place to leave your question. A lot of people are going to the website where the blog is. A lot of times I post the radio show up on, every time this show gets posted on my blog, there's a comment section, so you're allowed to ask me a question there. And then I also, that's actually not really a bad way, because I also have your email then I could, I'll send you an email back saying, you know, congratulations, you entered the contest, or congratulations, you have won, or, you know, I'll have a way to respond to enter you in the contest. And really, I'm thinking that might just be a really cool way to do it. You just have to go to the website and click on blog, and you'll see the date of the show. I usually will. I don't post the show. The only problem is the show doesn't get posted right away. So it may be a couple of days before the show gets posted, right? If you have a question. So the thing to do is, if it's on Saturday, usually by Monday, Tuesday at the latest, the show is up. And you can ask your questions then, right? Okay, so I think, we still got about 4 minutes to go. Wow, what are we going to do now? Gee whiz. Let me first put this on here and see what happens. So I wrote this yesterday. So go by my website, check it out. I have my books up there, Don't Panic, It's Organic. You're welcome to buy it, of course. I prefer if you go to Amazon and get it from Amazon. I have the link up there for the Amazon. I have 21 other books up there. I have a one on natural rose care, natural lawn care, natural tree care, natural fruit tree care, a rock dust one. You know, there's a whole bunch up there, so check out the website on the store, so you'll be able to see what I'm doing. I also, like I said, I run a membership. I help people deal with things organically and naturally, and I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I like what I'm doing. Feel free to call me on my radio show. That's the only way you can really talk to me, because I am a consultant. I do charge for my time. Yeah, I charge $200 an hour for my phone consultations. So, so next week I'll be doing diseases, and every week I will be covering trees. One week is going to be trees, one week is going to be roses, and next week is going to be lawns. And then I'm going to be covering vegetable garden diseases and pests, not pests, but diseases in the vegetable garden. And we'll see whatever else we have time to do. And, of course, I'll be inviting more and more people to show up as guests. They can tell us what they're doing. There's a whole bunch of interesting things happening coming up this year. I hope to be able to pass them on to you, right? And so come back again next week. I'll be here at 1 o'clock on Don't Panic, It's Organic. Right, and then coming right up after the show is my Cosmic Spaceship show. So I call it Cosmic Spaceship. I really don't know why, because it is a cosmic spaceship, I guess, right? So thank you very much, and we should be getting off soon, I think. I don't know, but you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic, your host, Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. I got Don't Panic, It's Organic early on in my life, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I hope to do it for a little bit longer. So take care, and I think it's time to go.